Peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So do you think God said to Abraham, "Such a deal I have for you"? We have these deals everywhere, these bargains, these agreements, covenants, contracts, whatever you want to call them. We have them in our lives sometimes when we buy a house, buy a car, get a job. But even if we don't have contracts with any of those things, we still live under the contract. Because the contract is laid out according to wherever we happen to live. So for those of you who live in Scottsdale, there's a contract. The contract has all kinds of rules and regulations that outline what your behavior is supposed to be, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable under the guise of the law. It's a contract. You follow these things and everything will be good. You don't follow these things and you might find yourself in a bit of distress and trouble. And in turn, there are groups of people that will help keep you safe from others who might choose not to honor the contract. The contract's the law. We don't sign it. We don't even agree to it explicitly, but tacitly we do when we follow it because we don't want to go end up in some bad place with pink pajamas and things like that. But no matter where you live, there's a law that you have to follow. You don't have to follow it, but you're supposed to follow it. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself in a bit of discomfort, perhaps, or at least hiding out someplace to make sure that they don't catch you. And we find these things in the strangest places. Not just laws, but other sorts of contracts. For instance, if you would go to New Jersey, in the township of Hardyston, and you would buy a house in a place called Lake Tamarack, what you would find is a covenant that comes with the house you purchased. Last time I checked, it was 14 pages long, full of all kinds of do's and don'ts and thus and these and those and thous. When I moved to Lake Tamarack, 20 years ago, I guess, that covenant was in place for everybody who bought a house. But there was dust on the book because nobody really cared about the covenant. Everybody got along. There were mutual things that the community did together. Much of what was in the covenant had really gone out of vogue because the township had taken over the road, so there wasn't road maintenance issues or plowing issues when it snowed. So those things just didn't matter anymore. In fact, when the homeowners association got together and had their meeting, the biggest issue they had was figuring out what the menu was going to be for the annual picnic. And it was a nice place to live. Everybody seemed to get along and let everybody do what they wanted to do. And then the dam for the lake began to deteriorate. And so we began this whole thing of figuring out what it was going to cost to replace the dam, and it ended up being around $250,000. And everybody went, "Oh dear, how are we going to pay for that?" And so we put together a plan that the bank approved, so the bank loaned us the money. It was a 7-year plan where every house had kind of a surcharge placed on it. You had to pay on a monthly basis toward the dam renovation. And it all worked out great. It was the brainchild of Jim Anderson, one of the members there, one of the homeowners. And that bit of success changed that neighborhood forever. Because Jim Anderson made his way onto the neighborhood board. And he said, "Well, I'll be president." You should always be careful when somebody says, "Oh, I'll be president." because it makes you wonder why. Well, we soon found out, because Jim was so flushed with his very first success of creating this dam, he opened the drawer, top drawer of the desk up, he pulled out that homeowners association covenant and went and blew all the dust off of it. And suddenly he became Lord Tetrarch of Tamarack, going from house to house, making sure that people understood that, hey, I heard you're getting your house painted. Well, you have these four colors you can pick from. Or, ooh, you want to cut down a tree? Well, we have a special tree committee for that that's going to come and see if it's acceptable to cut down your tree. And it went with foliage, it went with buildings, all these things that were never a problem before suddenly became an issue. Because we have rules, and rules need to be enforced. Otherwise, we'll live in utter chaos. And this once tight-knit community started fraying along the edges, because neighbor was pitted against neighbor. Jim had his supporters, and they served as his spies, gladly turning in their neighbors for breaches and violations of this new found covenant, making sure that everybody followed the letter of that law. Such a deal I have for you, Abraham. A different sort of covenant. One that was only dusty on one side. Abraham goes to God and Sarah to be able to kind of rejuvenate a covenant that was made back with Adam and Eve. To talk about the fact that I will be your God and you will be my people. What a deal. But Abraham says, I don't have any people. Well, I have Ishmael, but he's only half my people. He's not all my people because he's not Sarah's people. Oh no, Sarah's going to have a baby. Now this is a laughable thing. So laughable that it's actually excised out of today's lesson. If you look at the numbers, there's a gap there. The gap is when Abraham and Sarah go, that's not the way the world works, God. But you know, the way the world works isn't the way God sees the world working, where people in their 90s can have children, where deals are made where there's only really one person who's left holding the bag, upholding the bargain. I will be your God. You will be my people. Such a deal. Because what do we have to do? Well, we have these laws. They came later on, these Ten Commandments, telling us exactly how we might be able to live our lives. So we have these laws. We break these laws. God says, I will be your God. You will be my people. And so then we have kings. We want kings because nobody else is allowed not to have a king. Everybody has a king. Why can't we have a king? God says, I'm your king. That doesn't count. We want a king. Here's a king. Kings break the law. I will be your God. You will be my people. Trauma happens to the people of Israel because they totally ignore the fact that they are God's people. God's no longer there really to protect them. Not to see them destroyed, but to help them understand that the covenant does have a place within their world. I will be your God. You will be my people. At least pretend to acknowledge the fact that you're my people. And it's still not working out. And so God says, I'll send you my son. And Jesus says to the disciples everything that will take place. Lays it out for them in terms of the trip back to Jerusalem, the trial, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection. And Peter says, say it's not so. I'm not going to abide by this. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, because you are not my people. I will be your God. You will be my people. I will offer the sacrifice of my son because you can't keep the covenant. I will make this covenant simple. Such a deal I have for you, you idiotic people who are so disrespectful of what I offer to you as a God. As your God, can't you be my people for a single moment? Can't you be my people for a single day? Can't you live your life in a way that will allow the world to understand that you are my people? And so I'll make it simple for you. My son will die on your behalf, and you will be my people forever. Whether you choose to recognize that fact or not, whether you choose to live under my guidance or not, whether you choose to love one another or not, whether you choose to be anything even close to what I expect of you or not, the deal is ever binding. The deal will never be broken, no matter what you might choose to do or choose not to do. Because I am your God, and you will remain my people forever, no matter what. That is the grace and the love of this God that we worship today. Amen.